We're always giving you tips about how artwork can really enhance your home. And lots of times you've got to get that artwork framed for it to look good. And that's been hard in the past, but no more, because we've got Framebridge. Framebridge is such a great resource for framing your beautiful artwork, photographs, or memorabilia. You easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit a Framebridge retail store. You can simply upload a digital photo for them to print, or you can mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Framebridge will then custom frame your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ship it back to your door in days for free. I recently sent a pennant that says preservation on it to Framebridge to be framed. I cannot wait for it to come back. And it was so simple to do. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. We have heard from so many listeners that Happy Mammoth's Hormone Harmony really works. It is making them feel like themselves again and enabling them to get the sleep that they need. Happy Mammoth, the company behind Hormone Harmony, is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand that specializes in creating natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. Their Hormone Harmony supplement contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens are awesome because they help the body adapt to any stressors. Hormone Harmony is for every woman, not just those going through perimenopause or menopause or postmenopause. It has actually become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. You got to get in on this. The biggest benefit of Hormone Harmony is feeling like yourself again. And that's what our listeners and other women mention over and over again in their reviews. So smooth out those days when you're just not feeling like yourself and get the sleep that you need. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with the promotion code DTT at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code DTT for 15% off your first order.
Put a fork in it. It's done. Hi, this is Anita Joyce here with Kelly Wilkness, and this is Decorating Tips and Tricks. Today's episode is Trends We Are So Over. And you know, that's the thing with the trends. What comes up must come down. And we see this all the time. And you know, it might have been great when it came in, but then it just kind of goes out. And the harder and faster it goes up, the faster it goes down.
Isn't that the truth?
I shouldn't say the faster, but the harder it goes down.
Yeah.
Because once it's ubiquitous, it's done. It just then people get sick of it, mm-hmm. and then they don't want it anymore. So this happens all the time, and I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah, get your forks out. Ready to go. But before we get to the trends that we're so over today, I have to share with everyone, because I know Anita might not even bother to mention it, but what an honor and a thrill that my friend and co-host partner has been featured in, wait for it, Architectural Digest. That is the big time, Anita Joyce. Anita was featured and interviewed in an article all about French country design. And not only did she lend great advice and tips and the whole feel of the French country design, but they also used so many of her own photos of her own beautiful home. So I'm so proud of you, Anita. And it's so thrilling. I mean, Architectural Digest, that is the big time, girlfriend. So everybody should check out the article. We'll put a link in the show notes. And I mean, I'm all a flutter, so you just must be thrilled.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that, Kelly. I am excited, and it was such an unexpected honor because they're not really known for their traditional design.
So I know.
So I kind of had to go, wait a minute, is this a prank call?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, really? But they're doing a series on several different design styles. So when I saw it, I'm like, oh, well, this is what a great idea for them to have. And I think they're going to try to put them all together in one place once they do them all, where you can learn more about a lot of different design styles.
Oh my gosh. So you'll be in their archives and oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So even more thrilling. So thanks for letting us know about that. And everybody's going to want to check out the article. And again, head to the show notes for a link to it. So what should we kick off with? I kind of have an overall thought that I wanted to toss out there, and that's applicable in 2023 or anytime. Kind of all anything. I'm over it. I think that should be a thought that you keep in your mind when you're decorating, you're designing, when you're purchasing items. If you went all in on one particular look, it's not going to last. It's not going to be that timeless amalgamation of a lot of different pieces of furniture or decor details that we really love. So if you went really hard, like Anita's saying, if a trend is really ubiquitous, it's everywhere, if everyone's going really hard for it, it falls really hard with a big thud. Same thing if you're doing all one look in a room or in a home. That's just not going to carry forward. It's going to be sort of stuck in the time you did it, right? You're like, oh, you did that in 2020, or you did that in 1992, or you even did that in 2023. So if anything in your home is kind of all in, like all gray, all white, all mid-century, you're going to want to break it up. Doesn't mean you have to throw everything out and start completely over, but you want to add in some other pieces. So I think that's just an overall sort of a cautionary tale to keep in mind when you're decorating, is that you don't want to go too hard in one direction.
Well, that's so interesting you say that, because that is the theme with several of the things that I've highlighted here, is situations where people have kind of gone overboard in a particular direction and they need to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your first one?
The cold minimalist kitchen. The highly lacquered, glossy kitchen cabinets, no pulls, nothing on the counter, and it looks so sterile. I feel like I'm in an operating room or something. Nary a warm thing to be seen. There's not a wood bowl. There's not any fruit sitting out. There's not any utensils.
No tea kettle.
No.
No fruit.
And I'm seeing this a lot with new builds here in Houston, and I think it might be fun for a weekend. I mean, I see them a lot in kind of the condo high rises, but even in high end homes. And I'm thinking, I think for a weekend, if you're renting an Airbnb place, fun. I think it'd be fun. I think it would be kind of a cool change maybe from what you're used to. But to live with that day in and day out, I think would just drive anybody nuts, unless they're just a super minimalist.
Very hard to live with. Maybe looks good on maybe the pages of Architectural Digest or another high-end magazine, but really hard to live with. And that's really not what a kitchen's supposed to be about. That those rooms, and I call them rooms more than kitchens, really, because they don't really feel like a kitchen, right? Those rooms, they're not the place everybody's going to go when you invite people over. You know, that's not a warm, cozy spot where everybody's going to congregate. You don't see, you know, the family sitting around. Usually there's not even a person in those photos when you see those kitchens, right? They're so minimalist, there are no people.
Well, to clarify, they are still putting these in new homes here, but I expect this to not last very long.
No, because it's not even practical. You know, aside from the fact that we love a warm or cozy, inviting kitchen, it's really not practical, because in a kitchen, even if you want to minimize, which we totally feel that you should, what you've got out on your counter and living out there permanently, definitely keep that to a minimum, but you have to have something. You can't really live like that in a kitchen. So it's not practical. It's not inviting. There's no warmth to it. And I think it also had the detailing of that waterfall countertop a lot. That was, you know, so the marble or the stone was coming down the side. So lots and lots of hard surfaces. Yeah, they have no soul, I think.
Right? You're going right for the jugular.
Well, they're pretty. Mm-hmm, right. I could see in a small apartment, you know, maybe you want to if you can see the kitchen from everywhere, you know, maybe you want to minimize even more so if it's not a room that's sort of onto itself, or if you have open concept and you want to minimize it a little bit. But that went too far. And I think people are going to be trying then to add things in. And it's hard when you've got a high lacquer cabinet that's just a flat face, and, you know, then you're drilling holes for hardware, and I don't think you're going to be able to develop the warmth if you've got a foundation like that. So I hope they stop putting things in like that, because mm-hmm. I think that people are not going to want to live like that.
Yep, true. What's your first one?
Sorry, Justine, but the boho. I know you've made an entire empire, and kudos to you, girl, for the jungalo, but if anybody went too far into the jungalo with you, they've got to come back a little bit. Take the macrame down. Too much boho. A little bit of it. If you like that look, sure, you can have some of it. Your whole room should not be boho. It's going to date you. Maybe vintage boho, it's going to look like you stopped somewhere in the 1970s. And if it's new boho from Target, then it's going to look like you did it in 2022.
I think you're so right. And I would definitely put this in the category even of that farmhouse style that was kind mm-hmm. of the faux farmhouse stuff, everything kind of from Target. But you know, the interesting thing with a farmhouse look was it lasted so much longer than this boho thing did. I don't think the boho lasted as long, and I don't think it caught on as much.
No, but boho, I think it kind of, you know, the macrame comes up and the macrame goes down.
Keep trying to push it down.
I'm unraveling that owl right now, but it kind of comes in and comes out. It just kind of like peaks and comes in and out. You're absolutely right. We had the farmhouse, which was done very hard, inauthentically. And then that sort of morphed into the modern farmhouse, a la Joanna and Chip has lasted. Although they're not even really doing it anymore. I just saw something in a magazine about some stone house that they were redoing in Waco, and it doesn't look anything like their signature style. So they're kind of might be walking away from that a little bit. It's going to all end up, and maybe if it's already there, in the clearance aisles in Target. It doesn't mean you can't pick up a great piece for price tag stuck on it, and it's really like discounted like 70% and have a little touch of it.
Right.
But you don't want to go so hard. And I think with the boho, and even the next one that I'm going to talk about, dare I say, Southwestern design, I think that those were sort of people were looking for the next thing after this modern farmhouse sort of tapered out. Well, what are we going to do next? And those two, boho and Southwest, sort of came on the scene. But I think you're absolutely right. They're blips, but they're blips that seem to kind of like bloop, 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 like they show up, you know, every couple of years they come back again.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they've got to come up with something new because they want people to go out there and buy new stuff that 5 years later will be off trend.
I think people like to grab onto a big trend, and that modern farmhouse, like everybody was riding that for a long time. Everybody had pieces of the modern farmhouse, and it wasn't so kitschy like the signs and things like that. It was cleaner lines, shaker style, the black and the white. I mean, obviously I have a black and white house, but I don't really consider my home modern farmhouse, but there are definitely touches of it. I think people are kind of looking for the next thing. And I think we would predict, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, certainly now that you're featured in Architectural Digest, I am not going to put any words in your design mouth.
Stop it.
But I'm not going to let that go. I'm so excited. But the next trend, air quotes, should be this more collected look. where you're not going all in on one thing, but it's a little more amorphous. It's a little harder to do than just say, I'm going to snap in all these modern farmhouse pieces, or now I'm going boho, or now I'm in the Southwest and I'm going to snap in all these pieces, because those items, they tend to sort of be more novelty items. They can be pretty cheap, so it's easy to add them in, but they're not going to have that lasting quality. So rather than looking to the next trend, a big one like modern farmhouse, or a smaller blip like the boho or the Southwestern, think about your interior design as trendless, timeless.
Yes.
Make it this collected look. Add in things that you love. That is so cliche in design, but it really does work. And add in pieces that have some gravitas, something that's got some history to it. And you're going to decorate beautifully for all time.
I couldn't agree with you more. I love that collected look. And that's certainly something that you and I have done, not on purpose, but that's just our style, is we love a lot of things with patina, things with age, the real thing, the vintage version rather than the Target version, for lack of a better word. And poor Target, they're going to be unhappy with that. Although they are good for some things. But on to the next item, and that is rooms with no color. And I see this all the time, especially individuals' homes, but in homes that are for sale. And don't get me wrong, I love neutrals, and the foundation of my home is very neutral. I have a lot of neutrals. But if you have nary a bit of color in the room, then it's going to feel cold, it's not going to feel personalized, and it's going to feel very sterile. So think about adding some color to your room. And I would also say color is coming back more and more after this neutral phase. Again, that was kind of a trend to have the neutrals, although it's a classic. It was very popular and everybody did it. But I feel like a lot of people didn't really understand that you can't go with everything white and gray and tan. You need something with some color in the room. You need a throw or some books or some artwork that has some color, or a rug. You've got to add some color in that room, or it's just going to feel flat and perhaps a little kind of dead.
Yeah, underlining what we're talking about. If you went all neutral, all monochrome, it's not working. You've got to add something in. You've got to add some textures, some colors, and combination of those things to really bring a room to life. Hey, we'll be right back with the rest of the show, but keep listening so we can continue bringing you DTT. As you probably know, Mother's Day is approaching. And if you're in need of the perfect gift for the special women in your life, look no further than Quince. From their iconic cashmere to wardrobe basics and essentials and gorgeous items for your home, Quince has your answer to the perfect Mother's Day gift. And when you shop Quince, you're going to be saving 50 to 80% off other brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, so you can feel good about gifting from Quince. Go to quince.com/DTT to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince, Quince.com/DTT for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/DTT. Style is key. And comfort is king. And you get both with Born shoes. Born shoes are made with the best top quality leather with functional stitching and flexibility. They're lightweight and so supportive. I just got a pair of the Iowa Mac. That's Mac for macrame in black. It's a cross front style with such a plush footbed and a zip in the back. They are gorgeous and so comfortable. Definitely going to be my go-to shoe for all the travel we'll be doing this summer. Take comfort in Born in every season. They make high-quality shoes that feel as good as they look. Go to Born Shoes, that's B-O-R-N, shoes.com for 15% off plus free ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use our promotion code DTT. That's promotion code DTT for 15% off and free shipping available exclusively to our listeners for a limited time. Let's dip back into the kitchen for a second. Those two-toned kitchens, that's not lasting. We do like the idea of maybe an island, if you have an island, to be painted a different color, but the idea of having the upper cabinets a different color of the lower cabinets, I don't think that that's something that's going to last for the ages. I think you're going to get tired of that look. It's like just sort of splitting it. I don't know. It confuses the eye. I think it could tend to make the room look smaller than maybe it even is. And it just looks a little too contrived. So I've never really liked that. I'm glad that that's going out. And I don't see that lasting. But that's an easy change, you know, unless you had these high gloss lacquered cabinets. So if you had the combo of the sterile kitchen with two different colors, maybe you're in trouble. I don't know. But I don't think that that's something that's going to last.
Well, I think it looks very 2020. And when it gets to be 2025, you don't want your house to look 2020. I think it really does date your house. So, I mean, it was a fun look, but I'd start thinking about what color you want to paint it when you're tired of that.
It's interesting. I wonder if that sort of was the next iteration of the no uppers, and then it was uppers, but they're open shelving. That's what you have on the top. And maybe that's not really working because we've had multiple discussions about open shelving and how hard that is to live with. Certainly, if that's the only thing going on the top. Then you had this thing where they were painting the top cabinets a different color from the bottom. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was some sort of progression. And maybe we're getting back now to let's have some uppers. Let's have them the same color or even the same stain, because we're seeing some browns come back into the kitchen.
Well, if your kitchen's large enough, I've seen a lot of kitchens done nicely with big windows and they don't have a lot of upper cabinets.
But like that a lot.
Yeah. I do too.
Blobby furniture, rounded, too rounded, too puffy, no structure. We saw a lot of that. We saw a curved that came in for a while. A lot of curved furniture, sinewy type of furniture. I was not a big fan of that because I thought they're very difficult to put into a room unless you've got this large bay window and you can tuck in a curved sofa. But then in the last year or so, everything got really pillowy looking and just too puffy. So I think those are not going to last. They're really hard to work in a room. They kind of look doofy. It was just not a look that I really liked at all.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I think it was, a change. I mean, they're always looking for something different. But that one, when I saw it, I thought, oh, that one's going to fall hard. And I hope people didn't spend a lot of money on those sofas.
Yes, absolutely. So pronounced lines, some structure. Anita mentions all the time, and she's absolutely right, a little French chair or a little side chair, a little antique chair, a little slipper chair. They can fit in anywhere. Right? You could just add that into sort of any type of decor that you have. But what are you going to do with one of these big blobby chairs? That's nothing that you can sort of carry through or be like, let's try to get this in the other room. You might not be able to fit it through the doorway. Right. So it's just not a piece of furniture that's going to work for you over time.
Speaking of some furniture that's going out, how about the boucle?
I know.
I mean, and the fabric is very kind of fluffy. It's got this loopy. It's not a flat fabric, but it's got a lot of texture to it. And
yes.
It's got like three plies to each piece of yarn in it. So it's just very bumpy and not the most practical, not easy to clean.
Think of Nancy Reagan wearing a St. John suit. Maybe you can conjure up what boucle is if you can't imagine it on a piece of furniture. So imagine her suit on a piece of furniture. I could never have that. Because if you have pets and they're going to claw at it, I mean, certainly that would be probably the best cat climber ever. Your cats would probably love it. I wouldn't have it with my dogs either. I just don't think it's practical for anyone and probably not that comfy to sit on if it's a little scratchy. Anybody who really lives in their house probably wouldn't want to go with boucle furniture, but we saw it everywhere. Mitchell Gold, Bob Williams was doing it like crazy. I think Restoration Hardware even had it. I think Pottery Barn, I mean, it trickled all the way down. A lot of people were showing that in this last year. But I think kind of like the blobby furniture, that's now sort of passe.
Mm-hmm.
How about TV-centered or TV-centric living rooms?
I'm not crazy about them, but I don't see those going out. I mean, they may go out of style, but I don't see people changing their houses.
Well, here's what I'm thinking about this is... It is practical. Sometimes you have no choice, but there, what you do have choice in is screens and what type of screen you enjoy your programming on. You don't have to have a big giant TV. Now, this might be one of those things where, especially when we do our consults and whatnot.
I think you've just made the clip that every wife is going to make their husband listen to.
Well, you know, I love watching sports. I love football games and things like that. And yes, it is sort of nice on a big screen TV, but maybe you can put that in a room that isn't your main living room. Depends, obviously, on the size of your home and how you can switch your rooms around, but alluding to the consults that we do. Now, not even specifically with regard to the TV, but oftentimes we'll say something, not because we're brilliant or anything, Anita, but you know, maybe you are, but that it's just something that hasn't dawned on the person that we're doing the consult with, right? Because that happens to everyone. You're living in your house and it just is the way it is. And you don't think about, oh, well, what if I really change that up a little bit? And it's just having a fresh set of eyes on something. So if you can pretend that you are a person that's coming into your home for the first time, and with respect to the TV or anything else, look at it with fresh eyes and think, well, does that really have to be that way? Can I switch that around? We're going to have a consult later this morning with someone, Gail, we're so excited, that has switched her rooms around, mm-hmm. made her dining room the living room, and really reconfigured the space in her home without adding any square footage that. And apparently this is working really well for her family. We're going to dive into that with Gail later, and we're excited about that. But like just looking at anything in your house with fresh eyes, if you looked at that TV and thought, well, how much do we really watch on that TV? Am I watching a different show than my partner or my kids, and everyone's got an iPad, and maybe we can take a smaller guest room and turn it into a little TV room and have the bigger screen in there if we feel we still need to have a big screen. So I am not saying that TVs are over, you know, that trend is over. No one's going to watch TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that at this point in time, when there are so many other options, and if you have kids, they're probably watching a lot of things on their phones or on smaller devices. Do you need to have this TV-centric family room / living room? Just think about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. And I suspect at some point we're going to go to just kind of the screens that come down from the ceiling.
I actually had that once in an apartment in New York.
Did you like it?
Well, yes, we did. But the technology hadn't caught up with it. So we bought this fantastic apartment. There was a beautiful fireplace, and it was kind of just like the screen somebody would pull down in a classroom. And mm-hmm. then it was the big coffee table thing that had the projection coming out of it.
Oh, not like today where you can have the projector connected to your computer or your phone.
No, it wasn't like that at all. So it was a bigger production, but it looked great. I think I had a long stick like a teacher would have, and I pulled it down, and then you could watch television, and it was gigantic, and it was, you know, we loved it.
But the projector, you're saying, was rather large.
Yes, solid piece with it inside of it. Just something to think about. And I mentioned the consults. We have had so many consults lately, and mm-hmm. been fantastic, and we're getting to know so many.
Yesterday, Kalisha.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was her dining room.
Oh, her dining room. And it's beautiful already, but it's going to be mm-hmm. gorgeous, to say, after some of our ideas. But we enjoy doing them so much, and we would love to do them with more of you. And we were thinking maybe some of you aren't sure how it really works. So we thought we'd just sort of run through, and this seems like a good time because I had mentioned it, to let everyone know how a consult works. So it's super simple. If you want to have a consult, all you do is go to decoratingtipsandtricks.com and you click on consult, and then that page will come up and you can sign up. As soon as you do, Anita and I get notified, and then we send you an email that says we're super excited and we let you know what you need to do next, which is basically letting us know what you want to talk about, sending us some photos. We love to have at least one photo of the whole space, but the more photos, you know, the more information we can gather, and let us know with as much detail as you'd like what your dilemma, your design question, what you'd like to accomplish. And then we take that all into account together with your photos. We come up with a plan. We come up with usually, well, always two plans, because mm-hmm. we really don't powwow on this beforehand. We'll talk a few minutes before the consult, but we like it to be really fresh. And we like each of us to be bringing new ideas. Lots of times, if you're listeners here, you'll know that we cross over and we do have similar thoughts, but we might go to different colors or a different configuration. But usually the person ends up with two great ideas, two great concepts, one from each of us and with some overlap. And we also have so many laughs, and it's just such a fun experience. We enjoy it so much. And we really know, because we've heard a lot of great feedback, that people get a lot out of the consult. So we'd love to talk to you individually. And so if you'd like to do that, just head on over to decoratingtipsandtricks.com and click consult and sign yourself up.
You're right. I mean, Kelly, this is probably the most fun part of our job, is helping people. And we just got an email recently where a client sent us photos of the space afterwards. And I just, it was so
Alexis,
rewarding.
Right?
Yes, yes. They implemented some of the ideas we suggested, and it made me so happy to see how beautiful the room was and how happy she was of the space, how proud they were of the space. And you know what? That makes it all worthwhile.
I do think our superpower is looking at a room and knowing what to do with it. So that, I think, is definitely one of our superpowers.
Well, the funny thing is, before I was doing this as a profession, I would walk into a room and I would have all these ideas. Move this, take that out, put this in. But if you said it, it was rude.
Yeah. Now people sign up for it.
Now people want to hear what I have to say about the room. So it's funny how that changes, and suddenly it's helpful advice, where at one point in another scenario, it's considered rude.
That's so funny. So any more trends that we're so over?
Fast furniture. Although I think there's always a place somewhere in your home for a great IKEA piece of furniture. It's cheap, easy to transport, and it just works sometimes, especially for storage pieces. But, you know, you don't want every piece in your house to be built with a little Allen wrench, you know? So you want to have some pieces that were actually, you know, they're just one piece, and they're already put together, and they have some personality and some panache that they add to the room. So I think fast furniture is not going away, but the thought of having a whole room full of that furniture is. It's just what you've been saying, and I think you're so right, Kelly. Too much of a good thing is not good.
Yeah, and too much of a meh thing is really, really not good.
That is true. That is true.
One trend that I have been reading and people are saying it's out is the sliding barn door. Now, I don't think that that's necessarily out, because it's such a practical way to close off certain areas in your room. I think the idea of doing it to farmhouse, mm-hmm. too modern, too much like it looks like it came from a barn, like maybe it's got that, you know, the paneling running diagonally, you know, so it really looks like a barn door. That is probably going too far down that road. But if you had a need for a door that didn't swing in or out, I think it's a great solution. So I wouldn't throw the sliding doors out. Let's just take the word barn out, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe the barn looking sliding doors are kind of out. But if you have a one that's sleeker looking, you could have just a flat panel, or you could have an antique door like you do or I do, and then maybe a more simplified track, maybe something that isn't, again, too country looking, then I think that these are still very applicable for any type of home, especially if, you know, you really can't lose that square footage by having the door come in and out.
Well, absolutely. I think it's such a practical application for a space where you don't have room for the door to swing out. I'm actually planning to use this in a couple of places in the mountain house that we have, because I really don't have room for a door to swing out. So I'm definitely planning to do this. But I think you're spot on. When you go too far with the, oh, it's hanging doors, it's for a barn, so I'm going to do the doors with the X's on them, mm-hmm. so I look like I'm in a barn. I think that is out for sure. But if you have some other doors, some beautiful doors, then really it's just kind of a different way for you to open up the space, is just mm-hmm. to have them hanging. And yeah, my doors are actually from a French auction, and they're really tall 8-foot doors. The paint is very old on it, and we actually stripped it down through several layers of paint, and there's some glass panels in the door, and they're really pretty. So I think that sort of thing, yeah, I don't see that going out, because it's just another way to make a small space work with a door.
I am so excited about our DTT defines today. So are we ready? Can we do it now? I got a little preview. Okay.
Yes. Today we are defining transferware. And Kelly and I love transferware. So this is a very exciting, fun topic for both of us. So it's a style of decorated china first produced around the late 1700s. So before the transferware technique was developed, there was porcelain china that was hand-painted and very expensive. So really, just the super wealthy could afford it. But then this new technique became available, where beautiful dishes became affordable for the middle class, for the working classes. And the reason they're so affordable is because they're not hand-painted and they're not porcelain. So that made them affordable, but they had a design on them. And they're super popular to this day. I would say the most popular pattern is Blue Willow, and that's been around since 1779.
Wow.
So it's made with ironstone china, and this was developed by Miles Mason in the 1780s. So ironstone is made of ironstone slag, flint, Cornish stone, and clay. It's heavier and thicker than porcelain, much more durable, and of course, much cheaper. Now, even though it was beautifully decorated, was really durable and made for everyday use. So they used a hand-engraved copper plate originally, and they would print designs on paper. Then that printed paper was pressed, pigment signed down, onto the item to be decorated. And sometimes you'll see some of these old transferware pieces that the pattern doesn't exactly line up. So you can tell that paper was really put on by hand. And then the paper was floated off in water or burned in the kiln. So most transferware is a one color pattern onto a white background. Blue is, like I mentioned before, by far the most popular color you're going to see in transferware. But I've seen red, purple, green, black, and pink. And there's probably some other colors that I haven't seen. Now, you can add an additional color by hand painting or by doing a second transfer design with the same technique. And then they come in, you know, animals, landscapes, architecture, and floral. There's so many beautiful patterns and many that are made today. But my very favorite designs are made by a company called Sargemy, which is a French company. I don't think they're in business anymore. So these are French antique transferware plates, and they're my favorite. They're just beautiful. Do you have a particular pattern or brand that you really love?
Well, I tend to go for the color. I love the black flow. And so the flow is a little bit different, right, Anita? It was like sort of purposely blurred. And those are the ones that I look for. Unless I took a couple of plates off the wall or turned a few things over, I can't remember off the top of my head any particular brand that mm-hmm. I go for, but there are definitely certain patterns that I see over and over again.
I actually saw something at the antique store yesterday that was a lavender, but it looked like a flow blue in that it was very blurry. Mm-hmm. And I think I may be going back because there was no price listed, but I need to go back when I have more time and ask, what is the price on this?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely do that. Oh, that was so interesting. So I knew a little bit about that, but not as much as you just shared with us. So great to know. And who is it Nancy's Daily Dish? Isn't that the woman who sells really only transferware online?
She does sell transferware. I'm not sure if she does sell other dishes, but what a beautiful account to follow. She has so many beautiful dishes.
She does. And you can pick them up on Etsy or eBay, or, you know, if you're lucky enough, like sometimes I'll spend a little bit more for something that I, you know, just fell in love with. And then I'll sort of balance it out because I'll find a transferware something or other at an estate sale for, you know, $6. So keep your eye out for it. I think there is a lot of it, particularly in the blue. And I think it's lasted longer because it's much sturdier than the porcelain, right? Would you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my favorite are the purple dishes, too.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Right. But sometimes they're kind of more of a blue purple, and sometimes they're more of the plum purple.
Right.
And so I have a little bit of both. But yeah, I just love them. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, I think they're so charming. I love them too. And there's so many ways to use them at home. Obviously, you could put them on the wall, and it doesn't have to just be plates. I have canisters and pitchers and all sorts of things with the transferware patterns on them. So, and it's a fun thing to get to know the patterns, and then you can really hone your collection if this is something that you really love.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. So Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lola V, that struggle is history. Lola V is all about naturally derived plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan. I love the In-Shower Trio, the restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. It turns my shower experience into a spa-like retreat. Post-shower, the deglossing tangler, perfecting leave-in, and lightweight hair oil are a triple threat for your styling routine. These multifunctional formulas work beautifully together to prime, prep, and finish for a silkier, shinier, Jennifer Aniston-approved hair. Oh, and Jen also has a discount for DTT listeners. You'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code DTT at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code DTT. And please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you make your purchase, Jen's going to ask you where you heard about Lola V and let her know it's from Decorating Tips and Tricks. Go to lolav.com and use promo code DTT for 15% off your order. Again, Factor came to the rescue. I was traveling for business recently and didn't have time to prep or grocery shop for my family before I left. You'd think they could do it on their own, but, well, buts aside, Factor came to the rescue. Factor meals are delicious, nutritious, and on the table in 2 minutes. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up, grocery shopping. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. And Factor can be tailored to your schedule. You customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution and mine for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/DTT50 and use the code DTT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code DTT50 at factormeals.com/DTT50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. My crush today is a friend of ours, Susan Duane. She is back on Etsy. She was on Etsy for many years, and she has reopened her Etsy shop. So I want to let everybody know about that. It's called Paper Hill Designs.
Well, good for her. I'm glad she's back.
Stationery, and what I'd really like to point out to everyone, it's a beautiful phone cases that she's doing. luscious florals in sort of neutral and soft colors, like think like wheats and salmony pinks and things like that, and think really lush open peonies, and they're just absolutely beautiful. And I was on there yesterday, and they have all the sizes, so no matter what phone you have. So lovely and so reasonably priced. So super pretty, and she's such a wonderful person. So if you're in the market for some personalized stationery, or you're in the market for a new phone case or a great gift for somebody, head over to Paper Hill Designs, and we'll have the link in the show notes.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm going to go check it out. So my crush, I'm not sure I'm going to call it a crush, because mm-hmm. it's kind of more of a supporting actor. But I do think this is something that's great to have in your home, and it is the one I found is very reasonably priced, and that is an acrylic riser. So I think they're really nice to use to elevate some kind of sculpture or something else that's just really beautiful. And, you know, we use a lot of different things. I like to use books as risers also, but this kind of makes the item look like it's a piece of art when you see it on that acrylic block. So the one I bought is 6x6, 1 inch tall, and it just worked perfectly for what I put on it, which is that really cute pine cone I think you saw I had mm-hmm. from Oka. But you can get it in different sizes. But they can be very expensive, oddly enough. I don't know why they are, but sometimes they are. But this one I got on Amazon, and it was less than $20. I'll share the link, and it comes in several different sizes.
You know, that is sort of one of those things where price varies so much. And I think, you know, obviously if you go to a little boutique, you know, they could charge you upwards $50, $60 or something like mm-hmm. that. But yeah. $20 is a great price. And I love the juxtaposition. It is particularly if you do something that's sort of older or has mm-hmm. some patina to it on the acrylic. That in and of itself is just so great, because it creates that little tension just between the riser and the item. So well done. And yeah, I like how you termed that. It was really not like a crush, but just like, you know, like,
it's a good deal.
You're pining over, but it's good to have around, you know?
That's right. That's right. Oh, boy.
Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We got to get going, because we got to have a consult with mm-hmm. Gail. So remember, we are here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time. Want to talk to us? Well, we really want to talk to you. So let's schedule a design consult. Anita and I are here to give you individualized, actionable advice on how to create the beautiful home you want and deserve. It's so easy to schedule a design consult with us. Simply click the link in the show notes or head to decoratingtipsandtricks.com/consult. When we talk to you on the scheduled time, we will be ready with so many great tips, advice, and yes, tricks. So sign up today for a design consult. We can't wait to talk to you.